SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, I'm joined by Donnie Wright here. Hour number two. We've got a lot of good stuff to get to. NBA tonight, three games that are all set to deliver, as well as a tidy Major League Baseball board. But I do want to start with the news around Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know if this is going under the radar for some. Obviously, we're very busy with the NBA postseason happening here. But when a franchise quarterback says he considered retirement at the age of Tua Tagovailoa, that feels like a very important note. And I want to talk a little bit about kind of where we, I guess, see the future going for Tua, but I want to allow Tua to start this off here. Here is what Tua had to say on the idea of considering retirement. That video there, again, coming from WPLG Local 10 Sports. For Tua, again, look, he's 25 years old. He mentions that there. Last year, we spent a lot of time on Tua and all of the controversy issues that he had, time that he had spent away. He's not going to retire. It strikes me, Donnie, when we're having that conversation around a 25-year-old quarterback. I thought it was important to kind of bring up and talk about, I guess, the expectations moving forward for Tua Tagovailoa.
It's a shame. Yeah, it's a shame, Kevin, for the Miami Dolphins. And the reason I bring that up is not because, you know, a young guy getting concussions forced into retirement earlier. They put a lot into Tua. That was a high draft pick. That was, should we take him or Justin Herbert? And I thought it was going to work out in either direction for both quarterbacks. But the fact of the matter is, you now have an offensive guru calling the plays, weapons all over the place. And the only thing you're saying to yourself is, boy, Kevin, if we can get a season of health out of Tua Tagovailoa, isn't the sky the limit for the Miami Dolphins? But we're realists out here. Concussions don't get better. They don't just disappear. They don't go away. And each one after is usually worse than the one that is before. And he's so young at this point. We saw it with Troy Aikman for the Dallas Cowboys, where towards the end of his career, just continually to get concussed while trying to hang on. But it's one of those situations where, boy, if he does figure it out and he does know how to fall the right way, which means don't just slam the back of your head every single time you go down to the turf, and he can play a full 17 games, the Dolphins legitimately can win the AFC. That's not just saying, like, oh, you're hyping them up in the offseason. They're that talented now across the board with defensive backs, with pass rush, with offensive line, wide receivers, quarterback, and running back, and head coach. It can all get together. That's why it's so polarizing to talk about Tua, because if we just remove the concussions, man, the Dolphins are a legitimate contender, Kevin.
Radio audiences here on a Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wright, side of the Early Line, SiriusXM, Channel 159. Taking a little bit of a look at Tua Tagovailoa, and you're absolutely right. So Tua's very interesting in that we don't view him as anywhere near his Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts counterparts, right? Say all same draft class. Hurts got paid, and all that anybody could talk about was, man, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert about to clean up. Nobody said Tua's about to clean up, but with Tua last year, the Dolphins were excellent, right? And obviously, you'd much rather have Tua there than have to deal with a Skylar Thompson or a Teddy Bridgewater even, or whomever the backup quarterback is going to be. But also for Tua, you know, it's just such an odd thing at times, DRS, but he talked about how it's his decision, right? It's his health, it's his body, it's his choice. And he's correct about that, obviously. But I also think that does maybe give us a little bit of insight into this past season. And we talk about, you know, kind of why was the Tua stuff different than other concussion issues? Because Tua had three different concussions last year, okay? The game against the Buffalo Bills, the horrifying situation against the Cincinnati Bengals, right, on Thursday Night Football. Mm-hmm. And then the one against the Green Bay Packers. Two out of those, he played through. I know Tua wants to be out there. I know it's his body, it's his health. But the Dolphins have a responsibility, Donnie, to make sure that he's not putting himself in harm's way. Because we know that athletes will do that. That's kind of how they're wired. It's what allows them to get to the level that they get to. And I'm not saying the Dolphins need to step in and tell Tua to retire. But the Tua situation is not in the rearview mirror. It isn't behind us. This is going to be the case from now until the next, well, to the basically the end of Tua's career, if he does have any more concussions. And I hope he doesn't. But I hope the Dolphins understand their responsibility in this entire situation as well. Enough of that. Let's get ourselves over to Major League Baseball preview here on a Thursday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball time here. Quickly, I want to talk about some stuff from yesterday, and then we'll start to preview these games quickly. DRS, Max Scherzer. You are very adamant that Max Scherzer, is guilty, is the best way to put it. My thing is, if you listen to the locker room comments from Scherzer, as he kind of goes through it, he said that they said his hands were sticky, so they told him to go and wash his hands off, which is an interesting note, by the way, because I know you want them to crack down on all the pitchers, right? And they're basically like, hey, look, it does seem like you're cheating. Go clean the hand up here, and you can continue to play. And he says that he then is basically going through the whole thing with an MLB official by his side, cleaning the hands off, this, that, and the third. And the end result was they basically told him, look, your hand still is just an absolute mess here. I guess my drawback is, and again, I'm open to ultimately being gullible on this scenario. The world where Max Scherzer was caught cheating, cleaned himself up in front of an MLB official, and then kind of in the gap between when that official left his side and when he went back out to the mound, reapplied stuff that was going to get him caught for cheating, is so mind-blowing, it's hard for me to believe that that is what Max Scherzer did, but I know you're going to make some valid points.
And how deviant can you be if you're a pitcher here? Because let's go over and let's think outside of the mind of Max Scherzer, and you're the umpire. Now, I can't stand umpires, and the ump show gets on my nerves more than anything, where they think they're actually the reason why people are coming and spending their hard-earned money or watching on TV or coming to the ballpark. They're not the reason why. But here's what happens, Kevin. Sometimes it's about disrespect. Hey, you know what? Your hand's a little gunky, Max. I respect you. Just go in there and clean it up. That this is kind of ridiculous, and get a new glove at that time. Sure, no problem. Comes out the next inning, they check him. Max, this is worse than what it was the inning before. I need to hear about what's going on. Now, granted, for me, I'm always, not necessarily Kevin the conspiracy theorist, but I try to look on the opposite side, like what would I do? What would a normal human being doing? I'm really struggling this year. Pitch clock's getting on my nerves. Like I'm getting older. I'm getting up in age. Look at my ERA, my xFIP. It's just not working out my direction. Maybe I got to doctor a few things to sort of get some help here until we get over. Now, it might have been just rosin or this, but the umpire's response after the game was also alarming. It wasn't as if going, hey, you know what? It could have been rosin. It could have been this. It was a logical explanation. The umpire basically said, yeah, I felt his hand. I never felt anything so sticky in my entire life. So how is that just rosin? Now, also, you see Max Scherzer in his postgame interview. You got to think I was crazy to go out there again. That's the perfect response you're supposed to have. That's a well-thought-out cheater, if all possibly, to me. Going like this, they just checked me last inning. They're not going to check me again. Let me just get out there and gunk it up a little bit because there's no way they're going to check me twice in a row, which they did and caught me. Because if the umpires came and go, hey, look, it's still a little bit sticky, but the fact that the umpire was saying it was way worse than what it was the previous inning, that's why you get tossed. But also, Kevin, hear me out. Forget about Max Scherzer. 10 games, which is basically like two starts for a pitcher, is what it's going to be for him. I love this for ramifications around Major League Baseball because you know what this does to a pitcher who's also doing the same sort of things? Whoa, mandate is out there now. I got to really be careful. So if you are a total backer, then next week and a half, I'm not saying it's a guarantee where every game gets 15 runs because that's not going to happen. But if the word is out, like a bank robber, hey, by the way, guys, there's extra armed guards and undercover security at all these banks. Be careful. You know what happens? They don't go rob the bank until things start to cool off. I think this might be a really good thing for batting averages, home runs, and runs, Kevin, over at least the next week.
So I think that's very interesting. So then let's stick with this. Here's what I would offer as a counter to that, right? Let's say I am who's ever going on, you know, today's slate, right? Who's got the ball? Nestor Cortez. And I saw how the Herman stuff played out. I saw the Scherzer stuff played out. Honestly, I might be like, you know what? I got to start putting the stuff back on my hand. Worst case scenario, Donnie, is they just tell you to take it off, right? Yeah. And the best case scenario is they don't notice. Because they're not ejecting anybody on, from what I'm seeing here, right, Donnie? They're not ejecting anybody on first glance. They're basically giving them an out. Wouldn't you say if you're a pitcher, and again, you want to start using this stuff, you go, I basically get a free pass. I might be able to get through 3-4 innings before they even say anything to me.
It's a great topic you bring up, because let's also view this from the umpire's perspective. They don't want to do this. Do you think umpires want to go over and basically strip search pitchers like 3 times a game? They don't want anything to do with this. Like, hey, you know what? Look, just don't disrespect me. Just don't gunk the ball up with pine tar and we're going to be okay. Because even when you saw the checks, Kevin, this is where I get so upset about Major League Baseball, because some of the things they do are ridiculous. Forget about the baseballs being juiced that we don't know if they're juiced and where the baseball games are going to be juiced at. Let's just take a look at when they first started. It was give me your hat, rub your hair, let me see your hands, let me look at your uniform. And you know what it turned into, Kevin? This, if anybody's watching on TV. All right, back to the dugout you go. No big deal here. So if you had something on your finger, you wiped it on your uniform, on your hat, or on your glove, and you just walked off the field. I never understood why baseball got away with what they were initially trying to do, because the spin rates were dropping like a rock once they started those official checks, and then they started climbing. Why? Because umpires didn't care. It was almost like the meme, Kevin, that you see where the guy patting down guys going into a stadium. It's like, he's barely checking them. What is even the point of this? That's what umpires were doing. But I guess the memo came down from Major League Baseball. No, we're getting information that these guys are cheating again. Let's do a more extensive search, which is what you saw yesterday with Max Scherzer. I just hope the ramifications are not that we catch more people, that more pitchers go, it's really not worth the risk here of me getting suspended.
I will say there is something so bizarre, I guess, that we have to check at the end of every inning if pitchers are cheating. You know how wild that is? You know, like, I'm trying to even come up with an example in any, like, would it be as if, like, Draymond Green was wearing a loaded elbow pad, Donnie, that he was just throwing into the back of opponents, and at the end of every timeout, they had to check if Draymond Green was putting stuff in the elbow pad? Like, it's so outrageous. Like, imagine if at the end of every at-bat, every hitter had to hand over their bat, we had to check if it was corked. Yes. Like, it's just, it's so bizarre that that's a thing. We'll get some baseball preview, so then allow me to bring this up.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Major League Baseball had what would have been one of the best games of their season had anybody actually been able to truly catch it. Ohtani versus Judge, right? MLB Network aired the game. It's called Ohtani Judge Week. The game over here locally, by the way, was on Amazon. Great job. Judge robs Ohtani of a home run in the first inning, and then hits a home run in the next inning. The Yankees win 3-2. I don't want to – look, I know that we break into these conversations with baseball more than any other sport, Donnie. But don't you think it would make sense to have Yankees, Angels, Ohtani, Judge take place? Oh, I don't know. When you're the only game in town and not during the heart of the NBA and the NHL postseasons, wouldn't it make sense to have Judge and Ohtani go head-to-head at Yankee Stadium in July and not April?
Yeah, I guess. And then you could say, I guess, well, we structured it to be in the end of July, but look at this, Ohtani's hurt. So if he wasn't hurt at the beginning of the season, there's a lot of things that go into it, but also rightfully so. Or if you could have did one of those, let's just have one of these games to be in the middle of the afternoon where Ohtani pitched and we can change some things around. Right. You could argue both ways, but you're right. Sometimes when you have these marquee matchups, somebody in the front office for Major League Baseball is like, hey, we know it. How do we market our stars best? I don't know. Put them on a showcase where you're right. They're the only game in town, not one of 9 games in town.
One thing I will note is Ohtani, again, still your favorite for the AL MVP. His odds have come back a bit. Judge is back to 10-1. We're doing the Mike Trout thing again. Trout plus 650. Look, I'm a huge Mike Trout fan. I just realized. But Donnie, I guess Judge is going to win this in a landslide. These two are going to be splitting votes. I mean, what are these guys going to have to get injured? I don't know why Trout is taking up so much space here in the AL.
He likes LeBron. MVP he likes race. Trout. He probably likes Gretzky. He likes Mahomes. I mean, what's next?
Those are good players? What?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we got NBA preview coming up, but there are at least two games that I want to get to here on this baseball slate. We start in Philly as the Phils host the Rockies. And what stands out to me, Strom has the ball. In the Phillies games we've done this year, Nola's going, Wheeler's going. When Strom has the ball, the Phils are not laying strong numbers, if not usually probably posted as a dog. Minus 220 at home today against the Rockies. Total for this one's 9.5. What do you see?
Yeah, I think I see an easy Phillies victory today is what it's boiling down to, because you're correct. Sometimes you just read a line and be like, now hold on. This isn't a Cy Young award-winning pitcher that's going to be on the mound going up against Colorado. And quite frankly, the Phillies are an under 500 team. What gives? Well, here's what gives. Feltner's on the mound here for the Colorado Rockies, an xFIP of close to 6. And if you do the breakdowns, he's a right-handed pitcher, Kevin. He actually does well against lefties, which will help him out in this game, because Stott, Schwarber, Marsh, and Cave are going to come up to the plate as lefties. But the right-handed batters, Kevin, they've really been getting to Feltner. A 431 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 296. So maybe some decent shots returning to get on base. Castellanos has been red hot with doubles. JT Realmuto and Alec Bohm as well. But if you're just taking a look from a Phillies perspective, Kevin, they've done very well as a team against right-handed pitching. Take a look at the first seven guys anticipated in the lineup today. Stott, Turner, Schwarber, Castellanos, March, Realmuto, Bohm, and then Harrison actually in the nine hole as well. Everybody is plus. You actually have 8-plus batters out of 9 against right-handed pitching. I just would like to see Feltner struggle a little bit more against left-handed batters. But at the same time, small ballpark in Philadelphia, 72 degrees with a light wind blowing out to left field. The Phillies should hit today, and that's why that price might be appropriate at over $2.
Man, and it's big, so it makes sense when you go through that breakdown there. The other game is Cubs-Dodgers. Dodgers are a dog. The Dodgers, man, 2 years, 3 years ago, you never even saw. If the Dodgers were a dog, we'd have to stop the whole show and break it down for an hour kind of thing. 9-10 baseball team to start it. And by the way, when the Dodgers were a dog at Atlanta, at the Yankee, at the Chicago Cubs, and Tyone has the ball here for Chicago.
That's your boy right there, 4.56 xFIP. Yeah. Now, here's what I'd be focused on in this game. Rain is going to be in the forecast, but it does clear as the day goes through. So anticipated first pitch here, Eastern at 7:40. Probably getting underway, but if it doesn't with thunderstorms, you could wait this one out. Now, here's going to be the question. How are these winds going to hold up in Chicago? Because we're looking around 70-degree temperatures, which isn't bad for this time of the year. But how about this, Kevin? Left center field, 20-mile-an-hour winds in Chicago. That's why we see those double-digit lines here coming up at about 10.5 for a total. Now, if I'm looking at this game overall, I'm not really interested in the side. As I said, with Jameson Taillon, he's very good, Kevin. He's a right-handed pitcher getting right-handed batters out. 149 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 074. Absolutely fantastic. But here's the tail of the tape. Taillon against left-handed batters, he has really struggled in 2023. A 412 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number right around average. Now, here's where you would attack it. If you're looking at RBIs, maybe a same game parlay there just on some hitter props. Look at the left-handed batters that you're going to have in this game going up against right-handed pitching this season for the Dodgers. Outman, a lefty, due to lead off, a 300 ISO power number and 361 weighted on base percentage versus right-handed pitching. You take a look at Muncy, 308 ISO power number and a 349 weighted on base percentage against righties, and also Hayward, 409 ISO power number and 336 weighted on base percentage against right-handed pitching. Some good left-handed batters, even if you want to throw Freddie Freeman's 370 weighted on base percentage in there as well. Good looks there. Wrigley Field, warmer temperatures, wind blowing out if it plays. Maybe those Dodgers bats from the left-hand side can do some damage tonight. Mm.
Big time total there. Obviously, it's a big ask of the Dodgers, but if the numbers line up, the numbers line up. Let's get over to the NBA tonight, and we can start even if it's just kind of setting the stage here in the series between the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. And, of course, the big thing going into tonight, as the Warriors are down 0-2 for the first time during this run, is Draymond Green is suspended. Draymond Green in game number 2 against Sacramento had his foot held by Domantas Sabonis and responded by stepping directly on Sabonis and then launching off of him. And Draymond knows exactly what he did. And then the league said, not only did we see what he did, but he's got a history of doing this. And all of that's correct. So we go into this game, Donnie, and there's no Draymond Green. And listen, now Twitter is a wonderful, weird place, and you can get some of the craziest takes of all time, but they might be outdoing themselves. The Warriors fans are saying the league wants Sacramento to win this series, and that's why they spend a Draymond. Do you know how insane that is? Do you know how insane it is to suggest that they want the Kings to be the Golden State Warriors here? With LeBron versus Steph potentially waiting on the other side of this round, do you know how silly you come off when you say something like that? Draymond Green was suspended because he deserved to be suspended. It is his fault. It is the Warriors organization fault because they've never once attempted to rein Draymond in. I don't feel bad for them. I don't feel bad for him. And I will, in the same way, and didn't apply in a 2016 finals. If they lose this series and they lose tonight, there is no, well, listen, if Draymond didn't get, no. Donnie, it is his fault, their fault, and we'll break this game down tonight, but I just wanted to reemphasize again that his absence tonight is 100% warranted.
It is 100% warranted. And for the people, I don't know, on Twitter or social media or even some of the pundits talking on TV, the fact that you could be upset with Draymond Green being suspended for this game is absolutely ridiculous. He probably should have just been suspended alone the way he acted while they were reviewing it there, trying to incite a riot on another team's home court. But I had fun yesterday. We didn't get to talk about this, and I'm actually glad you brought this up because I sort of forgot. Like, Draymond Green's antics, which even after the game goes, hey, what did you want me to do? I'm not that flexible here, and that's just where I landed. Crazy. And I tried to equate it on the radio yesterday quickly and say this. You know, there's been times in my life where I'm walking through my living room and my daughter's maybe laying on the floor watching TV or has an iPad out. And if I walk by, brush up against her, or she sort of grabs my legs, my first thing is not to look at my daughter and curb stomp her. The same thing. Everybody out there probably has animals out here, right? Puppy dogs. You know how you get them food and they get tangled in between your legs so far? I don't ever look down and be like, you know what? Curb stomp time, dog. Like, no, that's not a human interaction. That's meeting a ridiculous individual who in the moment here was not saying, like, oh, I didn't know anybody was beneath me. That was an actual curb stomp, which is not usually in the human psyche when you're just looking at a person on the ground. You're trying to avoid that, not stomp them out. Absolutely a game one suspension, Kevin.
And the funniest part, by the way, here's the thing about what Donnie just did. Not only was that hilarious, but it's 100% true. It's 100% true. Like, again, the dog angle, right? Because I don't have kids. But
yeah.
Sometimes you don't see the dog there. You don't go, well, the dog should have been laying there. Let me launch off of the dog and get my way forward.
Yes. Correct.
And because Draymond kept going, what'd you want me to do? He grabbed my leg. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Like, if he impeded you that much, you'd have fell over. And the funnier part about it too, Donnie, is literally in game one, right? One of the final possessions, it was a 4-on-4 for the Golden State Warriors because Draymond laid on top of Domantas Sabonis and didn't allow him to get up. Like, when they say you don't get the benefit of the doubt when you're Draymond Green. But the best
you don't.
Is,
you get none of that.
We need to give you the benefit of the doubt. We know what you did. This isn't even...
Let me ask you this question.
It could have been Kuminga. We would have seen it clear as day.
What happens if he doesn't get suspended over that? Does Draymond just launch a player into the upper deck? Like, what does he have? He would cross that line. Right. And he already is a habitual line crosser, as we like to say. But if he doesn't get suspended for that, what's next? Does he do jiu-jitsu on somebody? Like, it would be outrageous. He'd be like, well, why'd he get suspended for that? Hey, look, I do Tai Bo or I do jiu-jitsu in the offseason. I was just using my reflex here. You know, I couldn't stop it. He deserved the suspension and got it. Case closed.
Sabonis, by the way, is questionable tonight. I'll just say this.
Stop.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, no, hold on. You and I got the same exact thought. He is not missing this game. That is genius from the Kings. That is,
it is.
It's just, you just ramp it up that little bit extra. Be like, listen, our guy might not even go, okay, because of this whole thing. We'll do props on the other side of the break, but let's talk about tonight's game. The Warriors are a 6-point favorite. 239.5 is your total. So just from the side, okay, because of what this means from the series here, whether you want to lay the 6 or not, no team has won, by the way, and not covered yet so far in this postseason. Mm-hmm. I expect the Warriors to win this basketball game. I've expected a long series. Everybody is doing this doom and gloom. The sky is falling on Golden State. But we've talked about this all year long, you and I, here on the show. They are awful on the road. But the reason they're in the playoffs as a 6 seed is they've been virtually unbeatable at home. We've seen this team have some of the worst road losses in the world, get back to Golden State, and they go, oh, wow, I guess they're a title contender. I mean, look at who they just beat. I expect Golden State to win this basketball game here tonight. I expect a very long series. I think this is probably 2-2 heading back to Sacramento.
Yep, and the first two games, Kevin, in Sacramento, I said they would win both games. Not being Golden State, but actually the Sacramento Kings. I still think the Kings are going to win this series because they're a better basketball team and they're at home. But having said that, Kevin, let's be truth and there's facts out there. Golden State will win this game tonight, and Golden State will win this game going away tonight. It's what they do at home. Steph's probably going to go ballistic from three-point range. That crowd is going to be insane. It's going to be a fun game to watch with a lot of points. Golden State, though, wins tonight. No doubt about it.
I absolutely agree. Again, I've expected this to be a very, very long series here.
Yep.
I will say, and again, we can do props on the other side of it. We'll do the same game parlay as well. I wish the last game didn't go under, because these teams obviously have tremendous shooting capabilities, but I do think the under is the play here at 239.5. Sacramento's the best under team in the NBA on the road this season. Golden State's one of the best under teams at home this season. This number tonight, I would like to bet the under. I worry about it, but 239.5 is a ton. We got to get to the props in this game, plus two others. We break it all down next year on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line. Let's get to the same game parlay here. We're taking a look at game number 3 between the Warriors and the Kings. Well, I'm taking a look at that game. DRS, though, different approach here. Talk to the people. Same game parlay. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm getting after tonight. Now, also, there is no recency bias for me on why I'm going this direction. I just think it makes some sense. If it makes dollars, it's going to make some sense for me tonight as well. I'm going to take my same game parlay, 3 legs here that we're going to get after. When it hits, Kevin, a plus 218 price. It's going to first deal with the Phoenix Suns. Typically, I go, Kevin, just on all player props. But I like this game tonight. I think the Suns finally got that relaxation, picked up a win. The pressure might be off. You're headed on the road. They're the better team for me than the Clippers. They'll win tonight and cover the minus 2.5. Also, I do think superstars do shine tonight. Kawhi Leonard has shown. Without Paul George, I got to be the man on offense, which means he's probably going to approach 30 points. So I took him to get at least 25 points or more tonight. And then if we're flipping it over, it was a choice for me between Kevin Durant and Devin Booker to get the 25 points. It's kind of crazy. Like, Kevin Durant actually could lead this game in points, and that's fine. But I do think Devin Booker is a lock to get in there with at least 25 points or more tonight. So if we go Suns to win the game and cover the minus 2.5, also with Leonard and Booker both to get 25 points or more, that plus 218, I hope to be cashing that in tonight, Kevin.
Nice payout there. We'll get to that game a little bit more in just a moment. For me, with the game tonight between Golden State and Sacramento, the absence of Draymond Green leaves some opportunity available for Andrew Wiggins, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. Simple stuff here. All guys, all 3 of them for 4-plus rebounds at plus 103. These are numbers that these guys have been able to cash consistently with Draymond in the lineup. Remove him now, and that's the availability that checks in. I like that you're getting it at a plus price here as well. Wiggins 4-plus, Steph 4-plus, and Klay 4-plus rebounds, DRS. Checking it a little bit better than even money.
I see. Now, look, I love it, and I think it is going to cash in, but I need you to do this for me, Kevin, on the same game parlay. I mean, show up tomorrow with like a minus 133 or something like that. Can you do that for me on the same game parlay?
Now, hold on a minute now. There's no way. See, this is the thing. You think that I'm not like an all-seeing eye or something like that. There's no way after yesterday you gave out a plus 130. Ranieri followed that up with an 11-1 ticket. And what, you think now you're going to take shots at me?
Yeah.
You think you're going to take shots at me in my parlay?
Look, you pull up like a minus 101 price tomorrow. I mean, that'll just, you know what? We'll all just get behind it and just force that thing into plus money. Yes.
Or maybe it'll just win. Which, but you know what? You know what? You do your thing, man. You do your thing, man. Look, last note here on Warriors Kings, by the way. I really want to see if they hang any Jonathan Kuminga props. Kuminga could reasonably be inserted into this starting lineup if with the Draymond Green absence. And he's been very good in that spot. He averaged about 14-7 in 9 games where he played without Draymond Green this season. The sample size is arguably wonky due to the fact that we're here in the postseason. His minutes have been dropping as we've now approached here in the postseason. But if Kuminga is a starter, I expect him to capitalize, and especially with that game being at home. Let's get over to Net Sixers here, as the Philadelphia 76ers are 4.5-point favorite. But before we get to the side, before we get to the total, I want to talk about Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid's points prop tonight is 30.5. And look, Embiid obviously led the league in scoring this year. To look at 30.5 and go, man, that is low, you obviously have to, you know, kind of been following all year long with these Joel Embiid props. But for Embiid, that's low. He's missed that in both games. And I want to come back to Joel Embiid, Donnie, but they're not really giving him much of a choice. The Nets have decided they're just going to tank Embiid's averages, and that's what they're going to have to live with here. They doubled him on nearly every single touch. If you look at Embiid's volume through these games here and kind of like sample sizes in the regular season, it's blowouts. It's games where he wasn't playing all that much. What is happening here is Embiid is making the right play. He had 7 assists last game. Again, what we have been able to do throughout this basketball season is kind of find opportunities on the board. But I'm really struggling with this Joel Embiid number here. It's unquestionably value, right? Dropping 3-4 points from the opening game's number. But this is not something he's really been close to hitting at all.
No, he hasn't. And also, Kevin, let's just understand the mindset here of Joel Embiid. Now, we talked about a lot on this show during the regular season, the importance for the Sixers organization, and more importantly, Joel Embiid. He wanted that MVP, expended every effort that he could possibly get on a night-to-night in basis to get that, because that's very important not only to the brand of the Sixers, but for Joel Embiid, who honestly, an MVP, he's played well enough to earn one and just hasn't gotten one yet. Let's just say he got it here. Now, you're in round one of the playoffs. Coming into this series, Kevin, we thought the Sixers would be able to really run over the Nets, right? Whether it be a 4-game, a gentleman sweep, whatever it would be. It's not going game 7. So I look at this and say, you know what? I actually think the Sixers are doing the right thing and Joel Embiid by going, I don't need max effort here. I don't have to go, 40 minutes every game, shoot 28 times, use up all my efforts here because we got a long way to go in the playoffs and we're going to win the series. I'm not saying that that's exactly why Joel Embiid hasn't gotten his 35 points a night, but I got a feeling watching these games where Joel Embiid is heading in going like, I actually don't need a monster night. I just have to play decent basketball. We'll get in, get out with a victory here. I'm a little bit leery. I see that Joel Embiid points prop at 30. During the regular season, I press the lever and play it. But in the playoffs, it's one of those where, are the Sixers up a lot? Are they going to rest him because they really know they're going to need him for Boston with 37-plus minutes a night? I sort of tend to find myself going, you know what? Let me get the young legs in here. Maxey had a great game last game. I think Maxey can do the same thing. 19.5 points. I would take the over for Maxey before I touch Joel Embiid. Not because I don't love Embiid and he can't get into the 30s. It just feels to me like the pressure is off Embiid in this series where he doesn't have to perform because, number one, it's not going to come back to bite him here for the MVP. That's voted on before the playoffs even start. But number two, I think you're playing the smart long game here. You saw last year with the Toronto Raptors playing extra minutes, getting your face broken from an elbow here. I think they might be a little bit cautious knowing that they don't need a lot from Embiid to get by the Nets.
So, I think it's more so just about the game plan from Brooklyn, and I think Embiid's the type of player at some point to be like, you know what, forget this, man. I'm just going to attack these doubles myself because I haven't scored 30 in what feels like forever now, and that's unacceptable. Because that's what Embiid did all year long, right? Sometimes guys start to force things, and it wouldn't shock me if Embiid did that tonight. A guy that has had a really interesting start so far to this postseason is Harden. Harden can't make twos. All of a sudden, it's two games, I understand. See how many free throws James Harden, Donnie, has attempted so far in this series? Zero. 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 James Harden, Mr. Free Throw. I mean, I know obviously that's changed, but zero. It's incredible. What Harden does now do is take threes. He took 13 in game number one in eight last game. Let's go regular season sample size. James Harden, when he takes eight or more threes, 23-4 over 2.5. When he takes 9 or more, 18-0 over 2.5. You want to increase the sample size? What if he only shoots 7? 31-7. This is all postseason included. If I get 7-plus attempts from Harden, more often than not this season, way more often than not, I've been given 3-plus threes. That is a prop I like in this game, as well as Spencer Dinwiddie over 7.5 assists. It's just a good buy low spot. Spencer Dinwiddie this season had gone over this number in 15 of 19 from March 1st to the end of the season. Last two games, 7-6. That number tonight has dropped to 7.5, which he's routinely hit in home games with the Brooklyn Nets. It's a little expensive, but that's because this number was 8.5 juiced over. The fact that you're getting 7.5 now, going back home is a nice buy low spot. Let's get over to Clippers Suns here, unless you have anything else, Donnie, and that Sixers.
No, I was just wanting to back you up on a point with James Harden not getting to the free throw line. If you even watch last game, he is trying to get to the rack. He's just not getting those Houston Rockets calls that he used to get. Usually that Joe Flacco, hey, a 55-yard pass interference penalty, where is it at? Harden's been doing that a lot, calling to the referees. Mm-hmm. It just isn't working out yet.
Yeah, certainly not. Getting over to Clippers Suns here, the Clips are a 2.5-point home underdog. Total for this game, 226.5. Personal frustration for me on the total. And this was something just to talk through this, I messed up a little bit here. Some stuff that I lost in game one was applicable to game twos, and I didn't come back to it, and that was a whiff on me. The over in game number one was 225.5. It lands 225. I don't grab a piece of game number two's game that goes over. Tonight's total 226.5. It should be going over the number. Does the fact that this shifts back to LA change things? It reasonably could. For the Phoenix Suns in road games with Kevin Durant, of course, they are unbeaten. But they're also unbeaten against the spread here. I know you said you like the Phoenix Suns in terms of this 2.5-point spread. And I know you. Listen, 2.5 to you is the same exact thing as a money line. You don't think it's going to be by one or by two. You could care less. But do you expect dominant Phoenix tonight here? Double-digit type of performance?
Here's what I don't expect out of Phoenix again tonight, Kevin, which sooner or later is going to get them bit. I come out slow and don't play my best basketball and get down double digits. That doesn't work. Right. That's not the best plan of attack. So if I'm looking from a Phoenix perspective, I actually expected it, Kevin. And last game, just lining it up, I said, boy, I don't know if I want to take that 8.5 here. You know what I think is going to happen? I'll take the 4.5 in the first half. They didn't even cover the 4.5 in the first half, but they covered the full game. So it seems like they're coming out slow and sloppy saying, well, we're talented enough to recover. Sooner or later, that's not going to work. I'm expecting Phoenix to have a much, much better first half here because you can't do that on the road. That's the angle I would play in this game. I do think they win and obviously cover the 2.5, but I expect a much better performance coming out of the gate here for Phoenix than what they've shown in the past two games against the Clips.
I think that makes a lot of sense. So game number one, the Clippers won the first quarter 30-18. In game number two, the Clippers won the first quarter 29-24. The second quarter, game number one, Phoenix won 36-29. Game number two, Phoenix won 35-30. What I might look to repeat is just an over for the quarter in the second quarter at 55.5. Even if you get role reversal and Phoenix is up after one, But the offensive numbers could increase, right, for the Clippers then in that second quarter there. 55.5 is not a lot to ask. You've got 65 in each of the first two games in that second quarter. It's not a market we tap into all the time, playing quarters pregame that aren't quarter number one, but there could still be value there, and that number is 55.5. I want to make one final point here in terms of Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's number is 27.5. He has now missed this in both games so far in this series. KD, though, during his 8-game sample size with the regular season, was 4-4 on that number. But all four unders saw him play less than 35 minutes. Kevin Durant has played 45 and 44 minutes in these last two games. I know Devin Booker's had a hot hand. I know they were doubling him like crazy in game number one and even still somewhat in game number two. It's just one of those things where if I'm going to get 45 minutes out of KD, Donnie, at some point he's going to give me 30-plus points.
Yeah, where he goes like 17 of 23 from the field and just absolutely scorches it. He has it in him. We just need a good start out of him. That's all.
It's a good point. Yeah, he kind of one of the, oh, KD's got 12 at the end of the first quarter. We'll see if he keeps this thing pushing here. Before you go anywhere, folks, you do make sure, though, that you listen up as Donnie will close out another edition of The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day here for The Early Line. SiriusXM Channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. Battling through 7 to 9 a.m. getting you all the hottest topics. Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh. And now we hand over to The Morning After and Ben Stevens and the rest of your Sports Grid programming. So many topics to go over today. We even got to fit in 1 week away the NFL draft. Who that top pick is going to be? Looks like it's probably going to be Bryce Young at this point. But then the battle for what actually happens at number two with the Texans. We talked some hockey today. We'll see if some of the home teams can reclaim home ice advantage, which include the Toronto Maple Leafs looking to just get past the first round for the first time in about 20 years. The NBA playoffs underway have been sensational. My Philadelphia 76ers back on the court tonight to take on the Brooklyn Nets, a pivotal game out west if you're trying to line up the Phoenix Suns and how legitimate they are to win an NBA championship. We are handicappers, we are gamblers, and something is going on in the NBA. Listen up. Monday night, if we take a look in the NBA, the Philadelphia 76ers 96-84 over the Nets. The Kings 114-106 over the Warriors. Both of those games, home teams winning and covering the spread. On Tuesday night, the Celtics 119-106 over the Hawks. The Cavaliers 107-90 over the Knicks. And the Suns 123-109 over the Clippers. All three home teams both won and covered those basketball games. NBA triple header on Wednesday night. What happened there? The Grizzlies 103-93 over the Lakers. The Bucks 138-122 over the Heat. And the Nuggets 122-113 over the Timberwolves. What does that mean again? All home teams, all winning and covering. So tonight, we have the 76ers and the Nets, the Kings and the Warriors, the Suns and the Clippers. Could it be another sweep, wins and covers for the home team? That'll mean the Nets have to upset the 76ers, the Warriors, to pulverize the Kings and get back into that series, and the Clippers to handle their business against the Suns and put their backs up against the wall, down 2-1. The NBA, the zigzag theory, we'll see if it plays out tonight, but one thing's for sure, home court and home ice means something. Let's see if it plays out. Ben Stevens in the Morning After coming up next.